She was thinking about failure too. Jace had congratulated her on her idea about finding the changer. Only that morning, when they were on the ancient steam funicular down from the lodge, they had heard about the events at Vavach, when the changer, called Bora Horzagobachul, had appeared and escaped on the pirate ship, taking their agent, Peristak Belveda, with him. Her hunch had been right, and Jace was effusive in its praise, making the point that it wasn't her fault the man had got away. But she was depressed. Sometimes being right, thinking the correct thing, predicting accurately, depressed her. It had all seemed so obvious to her. It hadn't been a supernatural omen or anything silly like that when Peristak Belveda suddenly turned up, on the battle-damaged but victorious GCU Nervous Energy, which was towing most of a captured Iririan cruiser. But it had seemed so natural that Belveda ought to be the one to go in search of the missing changer. By that time, they'd had more information about what had been going on in that volume of space when that particular duel had been going on, and the reported possible and probable movements of various ships had pointed, again, she thought fairly obviously, to the privateer craft called the Clear Air Turbulence. There were other possibilities, and they were followed up too, as far as the already stretched resources of Contact Special Circumstances section would allow. But she was always certain that if any of the branching possibilities was going to bear fruit, it would be the Vavach connection. The captain of the Clear Air Turbulence was called Craiklin. He played damage. Vavach was the most obvious site for a full damage game in years. Therefore, the most likely place to intercept the vessel, apart from Shah's world if the changer already had control, was Vavach. She had stuck her neck out by insisting that Vavach was the most likely place, and that the woman agent Belveda should be one of those to go there. And now it had all come true, and she realised it wasn't really her neck she had stuck out at all. It was Belveda's. But what else could be done? The war was accelerating throughout an immense volume. There were many other urgent missions for the few special circumstances agents, and anyway, Belveda was the only really good one within range. There was one young man they'd sent in with her, but he was only promising, not experienced. Fowl had known all along that if it came to it, Belveda would risk her own life, not the man's, if infiltrating the mercenaries was the only chance of getting to the changer and through him to the mind. It was brave, but Fowl suspected it was mistaken. The changer knew Belveda. He might well recognise her, no matter how much she'd altered her own appearance, and there hadn't been time for Belveda to undergo radical physical change. If the changer realised who she was, and Fowl suspected he had, Belveda had far less chance of completing her mission than even the most callow and nervous but unsuspected rookie agent. "Forgive me, lady," Fowl thought to herself. "I'd have done better by you if I could." She had tried to hate the changer all that day, tried to imagine him and hate him because he had probably killed Belveda. But apart from the fact that she found it hard to imagine somebody when she had no idea what he might look like, the ship's captain, Craiklin? For some reason, the hatred would not materialise. The changer did not seem real. She liked the sound of Belveda. She was brave and daring, and Fowl hoped against hope that Belveda would live, that somehow she would survive it all, and that one day, maybe, they would meet, perhaps after the war. But that didn't seem real either. She couldn't believe in it. She couldn't imagine it the way she had imagined, say, Belveda finding the changer. She had seen that in her mind and had willed it to happen. In her version, of course, it was Belveda who won, not the changer. But she couldn't imagine meeting Belveda. And somehow that was frightening, as though she had started to believe in her own prescience so much that the inability to imagine something clearly enough meant that it would never happen. Either way, it was depressing. What chance had the agent of living through the war? Not a good one at the moment, Fowl knew that. But even supposing Belveda did somehow save herself this time, what were the chances she'd wind up dead anyway later on? The longer the war went on, the more likely it was. Fowl felt, and the general consensus of opinion among the more clued-up minds was, that the war would last decades rather than years. Plus or minus a few months, of course. Fowl frowned and bit her lip. She couldn't see them getting the mind. The changer was winning, and she had all but run out of ideas. All she'd thought of recently was a way, perhaps, just maybe, of putting Gobachul off. Probably not a way of stopping him completely, but possibly a way of making his job harder. But she wasn't optimistic, even if Contact's war command agreed to such a dangerous, equivocal and potentially expensive plan. "Fowl?" Jace said. She realised she was looking at the island without seeing it. The glass was growing warm in her hand, and Jace and the boy were both looking at her.
"What?"
she said, and drank.